The scripture text is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Welcome, dear friends, and what a joy it is to meet once again in peace in God's house. I'm so happy to see all of you. Every time we have peace and life, a breath in our nostrils, praise God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. I want to remind you that this verse is taken from the most famous sermon. You know what it is? Sermon on the Mount, preached by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the beginning of His ministry. And I want to inform you this very important thing, that you should understand the context, the background of this sermon. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was an outsider. What do you mean by outsider? He was not of the establishment. The priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees occupied the temple, the synagogues, and they were the people who preached the word, and people followed them. Now, out of Nazareth, Galilee, comes this new man. Some call him the stranger from Galilee. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected of men. He came unto his own, says John. His own received him not. Who is this? Don't we know him? Jesus, of course. Everybody knows he is the son of the carpenter. Now he's preaching. Wow. Let's listen to him. So that is the context. He had to, as it were, breakthrough into the scene in Jerusalem and to preach a different gospel, a different message from what they were used to hear. So this is a rather long sermon, takes Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. And we are just in the first chapter. And here the Lord says in verse 37, now you get the context, don't you? Yes, it's important. Jesus had to teach what is the heart of Christianity. What do you mean by becoming a Christian? How you talk, how you behave, how you conduct yourselves, how you do your business, all these things must change. From the time you become a Christian, there must be a difference. So this gives you the background that we are talking about when we come to verse 37 of chapter 5. Now let me read to you. Please pay attention. Jesus says, let your communication, meaning to say the things you speak, that is your communication. You want to tell me something, let what you say be yea, yea, nay, nay. Very clean, concise, precise, and exactly what you mean from your heart. For if you say more, it is evil. Now we are very interested in what the Lord is trying to say here. And to help us, you please turn another five chapters, another seven chapters forward to chapter 12, Matthew 12. And here we come into a slightly different setting, a different context. Here enters the opposition. Are you following? Yes, Jesus, the outsider, is preaching. Now he begins to meet with opposition. I mentioned who they are. These are the scribes and the Pharisees, the powers that be, which trace up to the priests and the high priest and the chief priests and the whole lot of them. And they had a different message. But here is Jesus, do you know him? My dear friends, if you know him, you are the happiest person on earth. To know that Jesus is Son of God, God the Son. And whatever he says, you ought to pay attention to. So here it is. In chapter 12, we have come into a different setting. The establishment was provoked. Coming to life, as it were, hey, who is this man, Jesus? Everywhere he goes, there are crowds of people who want to hear him. So they began to oppose him and to say all kinds of evil things about him. When he cast out a devil, they say, hey, he's doing it by the prince of devils. He must be one of the devil gang that he can cast out devils and so on. Now look at chapter 12, verse 24, right? That again gives you a bit of the context. Verse 24 of chapter 12 of Matthew's gospel says, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. How ridiculous, isn't it? Says the Lord Jesus. Verse 25 gives us an immense understanding of what we are talking about and how to comprehend what we are listening today. Please, as I say, dear friends, I repeat this again, you must pray as you hear. Please do, in your heart. Holy Spirit of God, may you help me to understand your word, for unless he helps you, illumines your understanding, open your spiritual ears, and soften your heart, you cannot understand. You will reject the teaching of God here. So please pray. Verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts. Of course, Jesus knows everything in your heart. Amazing. You say, how can it be? Yes. Please let us all the time remind ourselves, when we talk of Jesus, we are talking of the Creator, the one who made us, the one who knows all about us, about every single individual on planet Earth, because he made them. He made us. And so he knows the innermost secrets. And Pharisees, Sadducees, what do you have, high priests, chief priests, the whole lot of them. Jesus knew all their wiles and their evil thoughts. Jesus read them through and through. The same with you. The same with me. There is no hiding. There is no pretending. There is no play acting before God. Please understand. You can trick people, deceive them, but you cannot deceive God because he knows. So here we are. Verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, all right, we are not on to that one. So we go on to what Jesus is trying to tell us today. Verse 34. Jesus addresses those powers that be, those who pretend to preach and teach the people, those who have the authority from the high priest. These are the people Jesus is addressing now. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, poisonous snakes. That's what they are. People who pretend to preach the word of God, who have people's destiny in their hands and preach to them the wrong doctrine, the wrong gospel. They are like poisonous snakes. And if you listen to them, you get bitten by that poison and you finish, you die. Verse 34. O generation of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That brings us back to Matthew 5:37. Why Jesus said that wonderful saying, let your communication, what you are trying to tell people, be very transparent, genuine, and indeed very honest. Yea, yea. Nay, nay. And do not add, do not turn and twist and change things around. That is not for any Christian. Read on. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And verse 37 is very important, condemning, powerful, and it speaks to you and to me. This morning's message is for everyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you are a saved person, it speaks to you. If you are not saved, it also speaks to you. Why? Because the Lord now speaks of judgment. Verse 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified. Wow, what does this mean? You know, God remembers every word you say. When you come on stage here one day and say, I believe Jesus, the Son of God, is the only Savior and my Savior. If it comes from your heart, does God remember it? Answer, absolutely. He will remember it on the judgment day that you confess me with your mouth and believe in your heart that I am the Son of God. So there is a judgment coming. And that is why we all ought to pay attention to what God has to say. For those who are not believers yet, God is merciful. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. Listen carefully, because God is speaking to you, not me. I'm only an oracle. I'm only an instrument to tell you what God is saying. Now, what is he saying? Verse 37. By thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So watch out. Whether you are Christian or non-Christian, believer or non-believer, do not use your tongue unadvisedly. The things you speak must reflect what you have in your heart. Now today I have quite a number of OHPs. Because there are some things that you will understand better. Just to divert a little. Talking of honesty. All right. In a very general sense, people say in Singapore you have a good, honest society. Why do they say so? If they say you got a clean system, so the people prosper. That is obvious. You can compare Singapore over the last 60 years, 70 years, or 50 years. Compare with other countries. We mustn't mention those names. You know who they are. But every now and again, you see a coup, somebody brought down because the leader there is so corrupt. I say, well, we thank God that in Singapore, we have a society where mostly people say, yea is yea, nay is nay. This is what the Lord is telling us. Please be honest, be sincere, and mean what you say. So, in terms of benefit, we have material benefits. We are not talking of spiritual things here, please understand. I'm just talking in the very general sense to introduce to you what the Lord is saying when he says, yea, yea, nay, nay. What is it all about? In the general sense, if your government has got people who mean what they say and don't start stealing and don't cheat, and we have a very strict and stern M.M. Lee, who set the tone and the pace for the last 30, 40 years. And that's why we have what we have today. Material, social prosperity, yes? That's how we can live in HUDC and nice apartments today. Now, change subject. This is what Jesus is talking about more specifically for us today. We're not concerned this morning particularly with society. We are concerned with the church. And the church is a body of people called out of society to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Lord speaks to you and me. If you call yourself a Christian, you must then observe this saying, let your yea be yea. Don't, in your heart, you think nay, and you say yea. That is deception. So this is what the Lord is saying to us. And in this context, we are not talking of whether if you are honest, you get more money or more power, more position. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking of spiritual values, eternal values. That is our focus for this morning. Dear friends, as you read the Bible, you come to church, you ask yourself, what for? In the old days, when we started our church in Prinsep Street, they all came. A lot of them said, why do you come to church? Your pastor speaks good English. We're here to improve our English. Wonderful. So that is social, material. We are here to learn the language of heaven. Now, just to enlarge and to use what they call graphics. On the left is the heart that represents your thoughts, your intentions, your schemings inside you nobody can see. And when you communicate, we do that every day, don't we? How many words do you speak a day? They say women may be 10,000, men may be 5,000. Yes. As a rule, women speak more than men. Whatever you say, those are words. And I can't read your thoughts, mind you, I can't. I can guess a bit of your thoughts, but I can't read your thoughts. But when you speak, those words must reflect what you have in your heart. So this is what I'm trying to... By the way, these graphics came to me only at 7 o'clock this morning. As I prepared the sermon, I say I must try to give you some illustrations, and I can't draw. I think this is the best alternative drawing. So imagine that is your heart, and your heart is like a tree, right? If you have a good tree, you have good fruit. This is what the Lord says, and it's so apt, isn't it? You plant rambutan, you get rambutan, right? And you hope, if you put in good fertilizers, you get a sweet rambutan. So the Holy Spirit coming to our heart and give us the fertilizers, we could get sweet words. Words of grace, helpful words, blessed words. Other people listen and say, hey, that person has got something good. To show he is a true Christian, that's our fruit. The Lord says it's also like a fountain. Your heart is a fountain, and the fountain gives off water in the stream. What kind of stream comes out of your fountain in the heart? So this illustration gives us a very clear picture next time you talk. Think. Whatever I talk is like fruit. How will people assess me by that fruit? Oh, like a glass of water that comes out of my heart, and they drink it, will they say, dirty water, or what? You see, please, this is a very pertinent lesson this morning to all of us, saved or unsaved. Now, this is the state of the unregenerate heart. This applies to every human being, including us, before we were saved. Anyone who has not found the Lord Jesus Christ and come to Calvary to have his sins forgiven is in this unregenerate state. Still dead in sins and trespasses and unable to do any good for himself. So I have here unregenerate heart. It is black, full of malice, hatred, and lust. And whatever comes out of that mouth will be corrupt. Evil things will come out. You say, not at all. There are so many non-Christians. They're more honest than the Christians, you know. I know many of them. True? Yes. Sadly so, because there are some Christians who lapse, who forget they're Christians, and they behave like their old selves. This is very sad. But this is a general statement only. All right? So the Lord says, until your heart is cleansed, all the malice, the hatred, and the lust taken away, you will continue to spew out evil things out of that corrupt heart because you are still dead in trespasses and sins. Now then, what must we do? The Lord says, you must use your mouth in the correct way, but how can I do if I don't have a good heart? This is where you need the Lord Jesus. Anyone who has not yet received the Lord, come today. The Lord is ever willing, ever present, ever ready. Now is the day of salvation. And he says, come. For as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. From sons of evil and sons of the devil, you come into the family of God to be born again. This is what we mean by born again. Born again is not a physical thing, not social, not medical. Somebody went into the hospital and came back. I had four bypasses. Now I can walk and run. I'm born again. I said, you're far from born again. You're going to die again. My friends, it is spiritual. It is God doing a work in you because you have come to recognize the Savior and that you yourself are a great sinner, doomed to everlasting death. And today, if you hear that voice and you say, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner, you are saved, you're born again. It is a spiritual process. So it is by God's grace and you receive his image. If any man be in Christ, he is a new person. All things pass away. All things become new. And you have a new vocabulary. You have new habits. Is that true? Yes. If you're a genuine believer, there is a change of lifestyle. I've told you the story. This man came to do work for us. And he fell in love with our maid. Then what to do? I said, convert him. So they did. The church sent people to convert him, to tell him the gospel, that he was a sinner. Suddenly he realized he was a sinner, he received the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened? He gave up his smoking, his cinema, his other things. Every Sunday at 5 a.m. he gets up, he comes to the house to collect the maid, come to the Mandarin service here. A new person, because by God's grace, he is now a new life, a new image. Now the language changes. There is a change in your vocabulary if you have not considered. So this is what we mean. This is what Jesus says. Let all your communication now be changed because you are a new life. There is a new person. And therefore, you must speak a heavenly language, not tongues bind you, not tongues. Heavenly language simply meaning your vocabulary is now cleansed from earthly filth. You will not speak vulgar and obscene and bad words. No more. You know it's wrong. You don't. Why? Because you have a new life. So the Lord says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. But of course, he was speaking to Christians, about Christians. We come to that. For Christians, the Word of God says, mortify. And for this, please turn to the Word of God in Colossians. It's a very important passage that we all ought to understand. Colossians chapter 3. Now, as a Christian, God has specific instructions for you. You are a Christian, you are a believer, you must live different. Can other people see the difference? Yes or no? You know that, don't you? Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, are you there, please? I give you another minute. After Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then you go on to Thessalonians and the rest. It is near the end of the Bible. Don't start at the beginning, please. All right? All right, you found it. Listen, please. If you haven't found it, listen. Colossians 3, verses 5 to 10. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, but he is relaying a message from God the Holy Spirit to you. This is God speaking to you if you are a Christian. So please pay attention. God says to you, you are Christian, all right? Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. If you are a Christian, put to death those parts of your body which try to do evil things. Whether it's the tongue, or the hand, or the feet, or any other part, that, like the eyes, those are the members of your body that tend to sin. What must you do? Put to death, meaning put it down. Don't let it come up and take control of your life. This is the meaning of mortify. Yes, put to death is a figurative term. Read again. Mortify your members of your body which are on earth, such as fornication. You all know what that means. There is physical, there is visual, there's intellectual, there's imaginative fornication available on the internet anytime. You can get it there. Do you stop it? You know how to get in there? Stop it. Right? Fornication. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, all kinds of sexual lust that is outside of God's law, that is inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence refers to the same kind of physical, sexual kind of aberrations, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Please understand. Don't say, well, I'm saved by grace, and God's mercy is always abundant, and I think there's still plenty of mercy and grace for me. I can continue the way I do things. I said, don't presume. If you're a Christian, stop it. Yes. If you don't understand it, you understand it today. Because, verse 6, while God is a God of mercy and love, do not forget He is also a God of justice and wrath. What is wrath? God will take it on those who persistently disobey and violate His laws. And in mercy, God will send forth His chastisement. Verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when you live in them. This is to remind you, dear friends, at one time, all right, you did not know. At one time, you were in ignorance. You did as the world did. You live as the world lived. That is understandable. But now, in Christ, you're no longer part of the world. You're part of the heavenly kingdom. You're part of God's people. You got no business to continue to live the way you did before. Verse 7. In the which you also walked some time ago, when you live in them, verse 8, now means now, don't wait. Dear friends, God is speaking through His word to you. Put off all these things. Like what? Like the things mentioned just now, verse 5. Put off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, all these things are hateful and abominable to the Lord Jesus. Don't. If you're a Christian, do not indulge in them. Verse 8. Now also put off these additional things, anger. You got a bad temper. Don't say my short fuse came from my father, I can't help it. But now you have a heavenly father and should therefore forget about the short fuse you got from your earthly father. You have a heavenly father, be like his child. It's so simple, isn't it? He said, not so simple. I tried, but I can always lose. I said, that's right. You try, you always lose, always fail. Why? You rely on yourself. Go on your knees and pray God to give you Holy Spirit to change you. When you pray in faith, confessing your sin and repenting, God will help you by His Spirit to change you and to make you a gentle person and forget the anger. Wrath, malice, hating people for nothing. Simply because you find something you don't like about that person, you begin to hate people. No point. Why? Because you are a Christian. You are a child of God. Will your father be proud of you? Can people see Jesus in you? Yes or no? You know. You got to ask yourself. Blasphemy. Saying things about God and Jesus Christ that you ought not to. Saying bad things about holy things. This blasphemy. Do you? If you dishonor the Lord, you're blaspheming. If you dishonor the things of God, that's blasphemy. You dishonor the day of God, that's blasphemy. All these things are holy things. Do not dishonor them. Hold them in sacred reverence. Filthy communication. Watch out for your vocabulary. Oh, my friends, so important. Filthy communication. Do not enjoy talking those words, swearing words with other people that you feel, now I've grown up, I'm like one of them. You feel pretty good, don't you? Join the army, then you get a new vocabulary. Wow, vocabulary increases. I said, no point. No point. Do not exult in those things. Verse 9. Lie not one to another. Let your speech be yea, yea. Nay, nay, don't tell lies. Don't tell half-truths. Don't turn and twist. Don't put words in other people's mouths. This is very bad of us if you do so. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Look at this graphic here, please see. This is exactly what Colossians 3, verse 9 says. Mortify, please see the OHP there. Mortify, can you see it? Put off. Mortify may sound to you too drastic. Not put to death. Put myself to death. I don't know. But all right, since you don't like that word, here, the apostle gives you something less drastic. Put off. It's like an old coat, old clothes, rags, and dirty, filthy. Put it off. Put on the new man, the new life. Then there is a change in your vocabulary. Put off the old man. Suppress him. Don't let... You say, who is the old man? I'm still quite young. It's nothing to do with chronological age. It is the person in you before you were converted. That is the old man. You may be 12, you may be 20, you may be 30. The one who took charge of things. The one who ruled your life and your speech and your lifestyle and your vocabulary. That is the old man, the one before you received the gospel of Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ came into your life and became Lord of your life. That person who took charge was the old man. That is it. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him your model. Do you have a model? Do you have a pin-up? Oh, dear friends, if you're a Christian young man, do not put up all those strange pin-ups of all kinds of unclothed women and think it is so wonderful. Do not, do not. It is very common. I went to a friend's house in Sydney. The whole bathroom is full of it. Wow! Quickly ran away. No, my dear friends, put on the new man. New man that is renewed, born again, regenerated in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have a different appetite, a different like, a different list of likes and dislikes. Put on that new man and live the new life, change your vocabulary,
look at verse 9 again. Colossians 3, 9. This is a wonderful book. We have not preached from it very often, but it is excellent. Verse 9. Lie not one to another. Don't tell lies. You say, I don't. Only half lies. I said, that is worse. Half lies is the worst lies because sounds like it's true, and yet it's not true. And people believe you. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Yes, have you? This is the question I ask you today. You say you're a Christian, but I don't see any difference. If I say I'm a Christian and I live like a non-Christian, how can people be ever drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say you're no different? I go to that church, wow, it's like a dance hall. Everybody's dancing around. What's the difference? Is there a difference? When people walk into your home, is there a difference? Is there something to tell people this home is the home of a Christian? Is there? Ask yourself, honestly, if not, do something to your home. If your home is full of worldly things, worldly pictures, pin-ups and so on and so forth, people come and say, well, you're just one of us. If you're a true Christian, show that at home there is a sanctity, that is Jesus Christ is Lord of the home. And indeed, and not just in words, people go in, there is peace, there is the word of cheer and encouragement from every member of the house. Is there such a thing in your home? Verse 10, and have put on the new man every day. As a Christian, put on. How do you put on? Well, in very physical terms, every morning you take off your pajamas and then you go through the motions of cleaning up. Then you put on something presentable that can take you to school, to your place of work, to public places. You put on, don't you? Now, in the same way, let all our old habits, our old hang-ups be taken off. How can it be? Pray earnestly. Implore, plead, beg. Tell God, I want to change. Will He do it? I say, yes. This is a promise. Holy Spirit will change you in a way you do not know. You will change. But you've got to pray for it. You've got to confess your sins and say, I don't want to do those sinful things again. Verse 10. Put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge, not by speculation, not by guesswork. You know, Christianity is not built on guesswork. Everything is in this book. And you must grow in grace and grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you must grow. Yeah? Do not, after 10 years, you're still crawling on the ground, you know. There are some people, after 50 years, they still do not know anything about the Bible. Why not? I say, we all, as Bible-believing Christians, get serious with your Christianity. It says here, grow. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. You ought to know the Bible. You ought to know the sequence of the books of the Bible. That's the first thing, please, all of us. If you do not know the sequence of the books of the Bible, go home and spend 10 minutes every day. And you'll know it very soon. And it'll be a blessing to you. So, verse 10, as we conclude this part of the message, put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes, you will be renewed in the image of Christ. If you read the word and say, oh, how love I thy law. Do you? Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. Do you take this book only on Sunday, open up and carry it here, go home, file it into the bookcase and that's it? No. Oh, how love I thy law means I love to read it, and I love to meditate, I love to memorize, and then I love to do it. Do it. Grow in grace and become more Christ-like. Where does it say so? Verse 10. Verse 10 says, put on the new man. Who is the new man? Like Christ. Like Jesus. Read all about Jesus in the Gospels and imitate him. Don't imitate the film stars from Hollywood and say, wonderful. I said, that's not wonderful. It's terrible. Now, read on here. Put on the new man, Jesus Christ, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes. You want to be changed to an image who? Of who? Whose image? Who is your hero? Here it is. The one who made you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be changed into the image of Him who created you, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you grow in knowledge and you love that knowledge, you love that word, you will grow. You will grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. People can see, hey, that person is different. After he heard the gospel and changed, he is different. I say, ask yourself, am I different? Not in the face, you know, but in your conduct, in your lifestyle, in your vocabulary, in your conversation. So here is the last few. Listen carefully. Now, here is a category of Christian, a category of very religious people that got into the way of the Lord Jesus and became the mortal enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. At heart, unregenerate, never born again, but they are there as the scribes and Pharisees, the priests and the lawyers and the people who were in charge, the system. Were they regenerate? Not at all. They were just as they ever were, unregenerate. Heart is not new, not renewed, and their heart is full of malice, hatred, and lust. And what do? They pretend. This is what Jesus hates. People come to church and pretend to be Christians. Jesus says, don't. Who are these people? They are pious. You look at them, very pious. Religious. In fact, they are like model people. And out of their mouth come maybe good words, but it is an outward show. How do you know? It's very hard to know. There could be some sitting here. I don't know. But let it not be you. Let it not be me. We must all square up with God every day. Lord, show me. How am I living? Am I truly a reflection of the goodness and the purity of Jesus Christ? Am I? Yes or no? You must square up with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He died for you, paid the price for you, and you pretend to be a Christian, but you never receive Him into your heart as Savior. You go around and parade yourself as a Christian. This is the problem with some. And with Jesus Christ in His time, they were called Pharisees. I'm going to show you who they are. It all starts with the letter P. Everything is P here. So you understand here. Pharisee, pious, proud. They're very political. They have all the power. That's how they put Jesus to death. Powerful people. But they work by pretending to be leaders of the church. And what comes out of their mouth is very poisonous. Oh, my friends, let it not be spoken of anyone here. And they have an 11th commandment. You know 10? Have you learned the 11th? You don't know. You're going to learn it today? Pharisee's commandment. Thou shalt not be found out. Whatever you do, do it quietly. But outwardly pretend. The people say, hey, that fellow is wonderful, wonderful Christian. But they are pretending as long as they are not found out. So they observe this one very important commandment. Don't be found out. I say, my friends, please don't play hide and seek with God. You cannot play hide and seek with God, you know that. God knows all your thoughts. God knows everything about you. And He wants you to be like Him. You don't know that. You say, amazing, I can't believe it. Well, I say, you can't believe, but it's true. It is true that God wants you to be like Him. It is true that God wants every man on earth to hear the gospel. For after all, let me inform you this. When God made man, Genesis chapter 1 says, God made man in His image after His own likeness. The first man came out just an image of God, pure, wonderful, so righteous, perfect, like Him. in his image, after his likeness. It is only after man rebelled and sinned that he fell and his own image was marred. Now, what is salvation? What is gospel? God sent his Son that whosoever will believe in him may have power to become the sons of God, to be reborn. Born again to have the image of Christ, to be like God. Are you? Will people see you and say, I want to be a Christian? Will they say, where do you come from? Pandan. Okay, maybe I'll go there. So often we hear that those people don't want to go to that church because when they go there, the people are the same as the people in the world. So I have chosen a closing hymn for you. And this hymn speaks to you. Let others see Jesus in you. The words are quite small, but I hope you can see them. While passing through this world of sin, and others my life shall see, be pure, are you? Yes, please, you got to concentrate on the wall here, and don't, that's not in your hymn books. And others my life shall see, be pure and clean, without, within. Yeah, so important. Without, yes, within also. Let others see Jesus in me. Let us arise and sing this. Music. All right, everybody, follow me.
While passing through this world of sin, and others my life shall see, be pure and clean without within. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see for Jesus, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book, more than God's word. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the Lord? Do others see Jesus in you? Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Faithful and true, let others see Jesus in you.
Listen to the words of stanza 3 before you sing. Listen, what joy it will be at set of sun. Set of sun will come anytime for anyone. Then you got to go in mansions beyond the blue to find some soul that you have won. Because others saw Jesus in you and were attracted by you. Now let's sing this with meaning.
What joy to be at set of sun in mansions beyond the blue to find some soul that you have won.
See Jesus in you.
Christ, both day and night. Be faithful, be pure and true, and lead the lost to Christ our Lord. Let us see Jesus in you. Let us see Jesus in you. Let us see Jesus in you.
Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, empower each of us daily to go forth and live for the Lord Jesus until He appears. Amen.